Good day, friends in the radio audience. We're glad to come to you with our Bible open once again to 1 John, as we're right in the midst of a series we've entitled Spirit Teaching. This is brought to you, as all these broadcasts are, by your friendly neighbors of the Church of Christ. There's a congregation near you that is bringing you this broadcast today, and we hope that you'll listen for time of services. At the midway in this series of Spirit Teaching, I want to thank the brethren for making this possible. You know, the brethren who sound forth this gospel tell us time and time again, we want you to preach it just the way the Word offers it. You know, we are not in this business, as the term can be used, and the word business is a scriptural term. It's used, of course, in the famous sixth chapter of Acts, where the seven were appointed over a certain business. But you know, we're in this for the idea of presenting the gospel without addition, subtraction, or alteration. We believe that it is a responsibility of Christians to make men conscious of this Spirit teaching. We're simply going to go to the famous second chapter of 1 John, and I want to read three verses that I think you've heard time and time again. We want to analyze them for a short time on the broadcast today. John says to Christians, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." And then he tells us what's in the world. "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." Then here's the final analysis. "And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." You know, when we talk to you on the broadcast today, we trust this message will come not alone in your home, but in your heart. And I want to ask you straight from the shoulder, and you can answer this question for yourself. Do you love the world? I'm not talking about the flowers, the trees, the mountains, the sunlight. I'm talking about the lives that people are living in this world. Now, you see some beautiful lives, and then you see some lives that are corrupt. And I think if we face up to the fact that we've got to do some soul searching on this subject. Someone says, "Well, how am I going to know whether I love the world?" Well, how about the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life? Are these things having a part in your life? You see, the situation is not the case that you can't live in a world where sin is without actually indulging in sinful things. Noah lived in a society that was corrupt, but he found favor in the eyes of the Lord. You see, the world is all about us, and John says that it's a condition of lust, lust, and lust. And so the point is that when we ask ourselves the question, do we love the world? Then ask yourself the question, do you love the Lord? How do you teach your children? Let's say on the broadcast today that you're talking to one of your youngsters, and you realize that someone has been kind to them at school or perhaps in the neighborhood. You want your children to respect those people. You want them to be thankful for the blessings that have been bestowed upon them. You don't want them to grow up to be ungrateful citizens and ungrateful people. Now, when we mention this, we look at one who truly loved us. We love him because he first loved us. And here's one who spared not even his only son to send him to this earth to give his life upon the cross as a ransom for many. So here it is, a love for the world or a love for Jesus Christ and God. Well, the point says, if any man love the world, the love of the Father isn't in him. So it is true that no man can serve two masters. We'll either love one and hate the other. We'll turn to one and reject the other. We cannot serve God and mammon. So you've got to make up your mind as we talk to you in this broadcast, because now is the day of salvation. Do you love the world or do you love God? Well, he tells us what's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, and these things will pass away. You see, you can't just think of where you are today, but also think about where you're going to be tomorrow. You say, "Well, preacher, I don't know where I'm going to be tomorrow." Well, what I'm talking about is that if God is in our life and the light of his love is shining forth in our life, then we're going to be willing to turn our back upon these lusts. We told you on the broadcast just last time that no temptation will ever take you but what is common to man. God will not permit you to be tempted above what you're able to bear, and with that temptation will make a way of escape that you'll be able to bear it. Let's go right back to the Garden of Eden, where we have the first account of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, the tactics of the world being used upon two people who had never committed a sin. You remember that the devil simply came to Eve and said, "As God said that you can eat of all the fruit of the trees of the garden." And she simply said what God had to offer, because I'm sure there was a love in her heart and the heart of her husband for Almighty God. But you see, the devil pushed this aside by attempting to appeal apparently to the pride of Eve. She saw that the tree was good for food, and since it looked so good, it would have to taste good. The lust of the eye, and we might say the lust of the flesh. But when the devil said, "God knows that if you eat of the fruit of this tree, you'll be just as wise as he is. And after all, you will not die." You see the deception that's associated there? So the pride of life was the thing, I believe, that ensnared Eve in the Garden of Eden. She ate of that fruit, and let's not forget that her husband ate freely, I'm sure of it also, and sin became a reality. You see, there was more concern for the word of the devil than there was for the word of God. And I believe this is true, that if we love God, we'll keep his commandments. If we fail to have a love for God, then we're going to turn to the course of the world, and we're going to show our affection and our desire and our concern for things that are evil. Well, someone says we have all this sin about us. It's constantly before us. It's on TV. It's on radio. It's in magazines. It's in newspaper. It's on the street. It's in the schools. It's even found in churches. Oh, yes. Lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and pride of life can even be found in the church building. If you have any doubt about that, you simply drop me a line. I'll give you an example of several things where that has happened. But may I say to you that these things that are about you, as long as you keep looking upon them, as long as you keep listening to the sounds that are about you, instead of centering your life upon what the Bible teaches, let the entrance of his word give light to your life. That's what the scripture says. That law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. It will make wise those who find themselves in ignorance today. But you see, if you listen to the world, then you're going to follow the way of the world. It has been said, and I believe rightly so, that if you could look into the mind of a person today and see what that person is thinking, then the chance is pretty good that you'll find out what that person is going to do tomorrow. You may be listening to this broadcast at this hour in your home. You may be able to see that this teaching from the Bible, as you recognize the things that are going on in the world in your small sphere about you, that this teaching is true and this is really what you want to be. But you see, the devil's not going to give you any encouragement to follow this course. If you're receiving this broadcast on Lord's Day morning, as is often the case, the devil's not going to encourage you to be in the house of the Lord. He's going to manufacture as many things as he can to keep you home from service. He's going to tell you, well, don't become over-religious. There's a lot of people in state hospitals who have become religious fanatics. He uses an argument that is ridiculous. There are people who have been affected, and religion is also something that can be used in a way. And many, many times when you say religion, you're not talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ. But you know, people don't use the same attitude, the same argument, when they're talking about involvement in things of this world. You know, a person doesn't say, well, now, when you start smoking that cigarette, realize that you can become addicted to that. Realize that it can actually cause you health problems. I think there's so much testimony on that, we can't doubt it. Or the person who takes the friendly glass of beer. Now, someone says, "Preacher, I think that's all right." Yet figures that I read not too many years ago simply said that one glass of beer, one friendly social glass of beer out of five people could bring about one alcoholic. Now, I'm not saying on this broadcast, if you've tasted beer, that means you're going to be an alcoholic. But I'm trying to show you that the world has these things to offer. And where are they going to lead you? They're not going to lead you closer to the Lord. They're going to take you farther away. And since it is a voluntary service, here's something you can keep putting off. Just like the king said to Paul, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." the idea that I'll hear more about you later. I talk to people all over the country every year who say, I want to become a Christian. And then we hear this statement time and time again, you know, if that person ever does anything religiously, it'll be the right thing. But the sad commentary is, maybe that person will never do that. All the time that he is marking time, so to speak, from becoming a Christian, he may truly be following the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. The entrance of God's Word will truly not find place in a life who follows the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, or the pride of life. We want to make this very clear to you on this broadcast. We're offering an affirmative teaching when we tell you to abstain from these things, just like as a mother would tell her little child, don't run out in the street. She's not reasoning negatively. She has the welfare of that child in mind, that it might live the next day, that it might grow up, that it might be benefited in life. And so that's the spirit we have with the spirit teaching. Read 1 John, the second chapter. And when you drop down to the 15th through the 17th verses, ask yourself the question, do I love the world or do I love Jesus? We trust that you will cast aside those things that war against the soul. The devil can't make you serve him. Paul said, neither give place to the devil, but give place to Jesus by coming to him. If you're not a Christian, hear the word, believe it, repent of your sins, confess your faith in Christ, follow that with baptism for the remission of your sins in the name of Jesus Christ. We're going to have to close, friends. It's been good to be with you. Your friend and neighbors of the Church of Christ bring you this broadcast. Be to their service. Tell a friend and neighbor about this broadcast and be with us next time as we continue on with Spirit teaching from 1 John.